Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we now approach the sacred desk to hear the Word of God spoken, we must and need, Lord, to hear Jesus and to see Jesus. And I relinquish control so the thoughts that You gave me will come out as You want them and not as I think. For these are crucial words at a crucial time that Your people need to understand more fully what is really happening. So, Father, give me the Spirit. And then pour out the Spirit on each person here, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to listen and hear. And wherever Satan will attempt to interfere or disrupt, we ask You to stop him. For we want to be free and able to listen and make our decisions based on fact instead of deception. Would You take this quote and would You rivet it in our minds? And then as we look at what the Bible says, Lord, and what's happening today, would You help us to stay the course? Blessed to this end, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that there is occurring right now everywhere throughout Christianity a phenomenon known as the emerging church. I want you to listen as I briefly describe the emerging church and then move into the main purpose of my sermon, Stay the Course. This is a new movement greatly influencing Christianity across the board. It's called the emerging church. Those in the emerging church suggest drastic changes because the old way and the old church are no longer effective. The basis for leaving, for learning, has shifted from logic and reason to the realm of experience and the mystical. Preferences are constantly changing. In many ways, the church is the last bastion of modernism in our culture. Now, here's a book I read. So deep, I had to read it 2 times. Faith Undone, Roger Oakland. And let me read what he says in 1 paragraph. On page 16 and 17. Emergent leaders say the Christian faith needs to be reinvented and reimagined for the 21st century. They insist that a new faith and a new kind of church must be established in order to reach this generation. If you were to ask most emergent leaders what their primary goal is, they would say to reach this present postmodern culture with a faith much different from what current Christianity offers because the present one is not authentic. They would tell you that today's Christianity is too individualistic, not communal-minded enough, putting too much emphasis on heaven, eternal kingdom, and not enough on the kingdom of God on earth here and now. They would tell you the emerging church can offer to humanity an authentic, organic, and real faith, since what we now know is outdated, irrelevant, and ineffective. The emerging church is pecking away at Christianity in all levels, weakening it to begin to look to a watered-down faith, not or no longer biblically based. If you think this is just a fanatic fringe group, I want you to know I wouldn't be preaching if that was the case. And as you just read in the quote, were it not for the wine of Babylon has hopelessly intoxicated the what? Does that include the Adventist church? It sure does. If it wasn't for that, many would be converted by the plain cutting truths of the Bible. But because it is not what the postmodern man wants today, we must change the church. I want you, I beg you, God is begging us to stay the course. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And yes, we're going to read 12 verses. Take your Bibles. Children, open your Bibles. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. I want you to listen and to see this for yourself. That God warned us in advance, this is exactly what would come in the last days, and it is shaking the very foundation of the Christian church as well as the Adventist church, and we need to give the proper response to it. Stay the course, folks. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, New King James. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be so soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of the Lord had come. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may not be revealed in his own time. That he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. I said, Lord, here's the answer to what's happening today. How do I make 12 verses simple so that you will be so captivated that you will go home to study it for yourself? And so first of all, let's do this. Let's look at the context, the setting. The setting is they were confused on the second coming of Jesus. They actually said to Paul, Did He come already? Did we miss the coming? Was it a mystical surprise? And we're here still. Things are going wrong. We must have blown it. He wrote them and said, no, not yet. It has not occurred. I never said that to you. I made it plain when I was with you. Now you must understand, before this happens, the man of sin, there must be a falling away first. And by the way, that's called apostasy. Paul said there will be an apostasy before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then he said, there'll be a man of sin and he'll be revealed. And so from the apostasy will develop this thing called the man of sin. And he is also called the son of perdition. And he also is all that is called God. He calls himself. He sits as God and as if he is God. That's what Paul told them before the second coming. And then he said the mystery of lawlessness, he called it. The mystery of lawlessness. And it says working of Satan, the working of Satan with miracles. Unrighteous deceptions because they love not the truth. And finally, they believe a lie. All of this has to happen before Jesus comes. And folks, if you ever trusted me, you need to do it now. This is happening right now. Yes, the man of sin has been around for a long time because those texts about there's something that holds him back before he's revealed. And the minute that was removed in the early centuries of history, came forth the man of sin. He's been around for a long time working, and many people are following him. But I'm telling you, more people are following him. All these things are happening now. He's not only called the man of sin, he's called the son of perdition. And he calls himself God, he sits as God, and he claims that he is God. And then he's also called the mystery of lawlessness. And we're directly told that he works according to Satan, doing miracle signs and wonders. Are you ready for that? By the way, did you remember what I said about the emerging church? Did you remember that it said that we no longer work on the basis of logic and rational, instead on the realm of experience and mystical? And they will believe unrighteous deceptions because they don't love the truth. And they'll end up believing a lie. So let's take a look at this more closely. Number one, it starts with, let no man deceive you. Isn't that what he said in verse 3? Before he went into what must happen first, he said, let no man deceive you. What does that tell you? Yep. He's going to be, all kinds of stuff is going to be told to us, presented to us. We're going to be challenged down to our very feet, our very roots of our Christianity. You would not believe some of the things they're teaching. Some of the books that these individuals who believe this and teach it, you've been reading. This non-Adventist book is very, very valuable. You should read what he says, Faith Undone, warning the Christian church what they're letting in. By the way, the merging church, it means that they're coming together with spiritualism. In the last days, the masterpiece of Satan's deception will be spiritualism. New Age. Catholicism. Let no man deceive you. Now I'm getting to the punchline. Number two, I'm going to the very end. And he closes with, they will believe a lie. Because they don't believe the truth. Now there's a clue, right? They will believe a lie because they love not the truth. They don't believe the truth. They don't want the truth. The truth doesn't accommodate them appropriately. So we're going to make it so that more people will come to our mega churches by just giving them what they want. Who cares what God wants? In the meantime, they look at us very critically and condemningly and say, what right do you have to judge other people in other cultures? Our God is a loving God. And they ridicule us and mock us for our firm, fundamental stand on the truthfulness of Scripture, and they contradict it constantly. It doesn't fit the postmodern man. We can get more people in our church. And when I showed you that slide a little while ago, that was Joel Osteen's church costing $92 million. The largest church in America. It was either 92 or 72, but I'll tell you something. I'll give or take 20 million. Can you imagine building an edifice to yourself? Well, $92 million. What could we have done with that money? And when you pack that many people into your church, look at that. That's half of it. That's half of it. Why do you think all those people are coming there? Because they are hearing what they want to hear. Do you understand that? And so we were warned by Paul. There will be a falling away first, and that is called apostasy by every one of the commentators. And there will be a man of sin, and he'll be revealed after this falling away takes place. He's also the son of perdition. He's all that's called God, sits as God, is God, mystery of lawlessness, working the workings of Satan, working miracles, so that even if you don't agree with the man of lawlessness, when you see the miracles, you have no other foundation or actually alternative but to join, because how can you argue with miracles? But the Bible says they love not the truth, therefore they'll believe a lie. And so we came to our conclusion. Let no man deceive you. He started with that. Do you know in Matthew 24, they came up and said, Master, I can't believe you left the sanctuary. And then we said, your house is left unto you desolate. What is Jesus talking about? Lord, look at this beautiful, magnificent building that has been raised in the praise of God. And Jesus said, not one stone will stand upon another. They went. And so the minute they got him alone and said, Lord, you got to explain this to us. And the very first words out of Jesus' mouth was, let no man deceive you. The very first words. Matthew 24. The end time apocalyptic chapter. Because they're going to do signs and wonders that will blow us off the foundation. We must stay the course. Why? Because they end up believing a lie because they don't love the truth. And then in the middle, I want to underline this. Verse 9, the working of Satan performing miracles. Are you ready for somebody to say, come to my church, my pastor raises people from the dead? I got news for you. The minute he said that, two things would happen. The first is, I'd like to see that. The second is, don't go there. Don't go there. You know, sometimes these adages or these sayings are really worth $1 million. Curiosity does kill the cat. We're not to be around that kind of spirit because we know better. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, even if they raise someone from the dead, there will be no light in them. Lord, Lord, did we not do miracles in your name? Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Lord, didn't we do all these great things? And the answer comes back to them, I know you not. And then the final thing that I want to leave you with, verse 8. Now let's stop and look at verse 8 just for a second. What in the world does it mean, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of His mouth? Does our God have bad breath? Now, Lord, forgive me. You know that that thought came to me this morning as I was praying. I'm trying to make a point here. I'm not being blasphemous. Now, destroyed with the brightness of His coming, that doesn't need explanation for me. But consumed with the breath of His mouth. And what did He do to Adam? He breathed into his mouth, his nose, the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And the Word was made flesh and dwells among us. Jesus is the Word of God. Our only safety is the breath of His mouth, the Word. And the reason they are being deceived and believing a lie is because they're not saying, where in the Bible do you read that? Instead, they are flocking to these churches to hear things that make them feel good, but they never ask for the supporting cast. And if it isn't here, my brothers, my sisters, and me, we will believe a lie. And that is what's happening in society. Now, to go along with the current series of sermons, I want you to hear this quote so that you're prepared on both fronts. Satan will work his miracles to deceive. He will set up his power as supreme. The church may appear as about to fall, but it does not fall. It remains. While the sinners in Zion will be sifted out, the chaff separated from the precious wheat. This is a terrible ordeal, but nevertheless, it must take place. But none of those who have been overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the what? The word of their testimony will be found with the loyal and the true. Do you understand it will appear that the Seventh-day Adventist remnant church may fall? But it doesn't. And at that very moment is when the shaking takes place and the tares are taken out by the angels and the wheat stays firm and all of those out there by the millions who really love Jesus, even if they're going to these mega churches, will come into our church because the Spirit of God will touch their hearts and they'll realize this is the only standard by which anything and everything needs to be measured. Stay the course. In closing, I want to show you my Time magazine. There's a particular, very popular, successful minister who just came out with a book and is causing quite a stir. By the way, I went out yesterday and bought the book and tenderly looked at it. And tonight after sunset, I'll bring it back. It ain't worth $17. I'm going to make it short for you so we can close the sermon and you can keep the thoughts that you already have with you. In the April 25, 2011 issue of Time magazine, the headline said, "What if there's no hell?" Yes, there's one of these evangelical pastors who is a force to be reckoned with, who has taken what's happening in Christianity in the evangelical church and he's taken it to the farthest extent and he's claiming there is no hell and that everybody is saved. And the other evangelicals are livid with him for destroying hell. I'm serious. They're saying, literally, that they take away the fear that governs the people. Now, this is scary to me because you and I know there is no hell. But we're not teaching what he's teaching, therefore everybody's saved. You see, I could go see him and say, brother, would you give me a half hour? And I can solve this dilemma for you. A loving God doesn't torture forever. But he's also a just God. And he will not force anyone against their will into heaven because for them it would be hell. Instead, he purifies the earth and in the process takes everybody who doesn't care about the kingdom out of their misery. By the way, I got to say one more thing to you so that you get a balance here because you see, that doesn't quite balance because you see, the most firm of the fundamentalists say yes, but no one comes to the Father but by Jesus. Therefore, if they haven't accepted Jesus, even if they're a good person, they're not going to go to heaven. And see, they haven't read Romans 1, chapter 1 correctly, where it says, those who live according to their conscience are obeying a law that wasn't written, they knew nothing about. And they will be judged according to that law, righteous. Yes, there are people who will be in heaven who never knew Jesus because they acted like Jesus, which means they knew Jesus even though they didn't know they knew Jesus. By the way, that's not a whole bunch of word bending here. That's the truth. I could tell this guy. Listen what the article says. I want you to know what we're up against, and I want you to know what your children are going to hear hanging around these young, progressive, attractive, intelligent, upstart individuals that are being pulled in by this stuff. Here's what it says. Things many Christian believers take for granted are more complicated than they seem. It was only when Jesus failed to return soon after the Passion and the Resurrection, get this, appearances, that the early church was compelled to make sense of its recollections of his teaching. Now see, if you read too quickly, you're going to pass right by that. Here's what they're saying. That his death and resurrection caught them off guard. And they didn't know how to deal with it. And so they started to quickly come up with doctrines and theories and so forth. So therefore, how can you trust the Bible? In truth, it says, Jesus spoke to them on the road of Emmaus and told them from Moses to all the prophets the things that referred to him. They were not caught by surprise after he came to them. And then they began to realize and remember what he had said when the Holy Spirit was poured out, giving them spiritual wisdom and eyesight, which these people do not have in church, preaching to thousands. They were not caught by surprise. And they went out and preached the true gospel because they now understood what Jesus had meant all along. And before he left, that's why he spent 30 days with them. And then they spent 10 days in prayer. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out. No, there's no chance happenstance here, folks. But I'm not done with this little tiny paragraph. Listen to this. Like the Bible, a document that often contradicts itself and from which one can construe sharply different arguments. Theology is the product of human hands and hearts. They will believe a lie. if it were not for the fact that the world is hopelessly intoxicated with the wine of Babylon, multitudes would be convicted and converted by the plain cutting truths of the Word of God. But religious faith appears so confused and discordant that the people know not what to believe as truth. And the only answer is the three angels' messages. Father in heaven, as we ponder these thoughts today to stay the course, I pray that you would clearly impress on every one of us what was said so they understand how serious an attack is taking place and how they should not be shocked when someone they love and respect comes with some of this teaching. Lord, help us to stay the course. Help us to make the Bible the focus and not the excitement the focus. Not the miracles, Father. Although we know that you can work miracles, you follow the pattern of Scripture, not the design of man. And only by the Bible can we tell the difference. Lord, I want you to bless my people. And those who are visiting here, they did not come by an accident this day. That you would fortify their hearts and their minds with the truth of the Bible by harassing and hounding so that every single day they open this precious book and they read from it so that when the deception comes, they will be ready. And when that shift sifting comes, Lord, which will be a horrible time for the church, at the very time it appears the church is ready to fall, we will not be sifted out with the tares. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, to this end. Let decisions be made before we leave this congregation. And thank you for hearing this prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.